No, I don't have anything wrong with my tongue. My voice hurts, but it's better than last week. And I've been doing a lot of talking this week because the host of the radio show I am a part of, called the Von Hessler Doctrine, hasn't been in this week.
MIA?
He's playing hooky.
And well, he went up to Buffalo last weekend to see the Buffalo Bills take
off. And he got arrested at Rich Stadium?
Yeah, he was trying to sell weed. No, he went up there to see the Steelers get their asses kicked by the Buffalo Bills. And lo and behold, he got sick, and he had to watch the game from the hotel while his family went to the stadium and watched the Bills.
Oh, no. Did he got COVID?
I don't think so. He says he didn't. But he just, you know, came down with something. I think we all got a little of that. I had something that was really bad throat-wise, and I was coughing. And
it was deep, too.
It was very deep. It was a deep throat type of thing. How I could have got it, no clue, because I'm very careful usually. And I don't, you know, go all the way to the base, but I will say this, it is me hosting the Von Hessler Doctrine for the last 2 days. And I think one more day, if not two more. And, you know, of course, by the time this is out, that'll all have been under the bridge, so to speak, but it is tough to do that and to maintain,
you gotta go kiss that Blarney Stone.
What Blarney Stone?
The Blarney Stone in Ireland.
Why would I go do that?
You get the gift of gab.
Oh, I already have that. I don't know if it's a gift. It's more of a curse.
You're doing a good job. So, I mean, I've listened during the day.
That's what I was hoping to get. Yeah. That's what I was hoping to get. A little, you know, a little nicety.
I like, you know, the teachers out of the classroom. So you guys are a little bit more open with each other, I think.
Yeah. Usually when the teacher's out of the classroom, everybody destroys the substitute. So at least I haven't been doing that. True. We used to have a goal to try to make the substitute cry. Or was it student teachers? We made one cry. But it's not our fault that you had giant pepperoni nipples and you didn't wear a t-shirt.
Which is why my pepperoni nipples are so cooked.
So wherever you are, pepperoni nipples, I hope you're a good teacher and you learn to wear a t-shirt. Remember that guy?
No, I don't remember that one.
He was a geometry class. So it would have been ninth grade, I think. Yeah, ninth grade geometry class. And he wore a white collared shirt with a tie, student teacher. And he just had these humongous nipples, and you could see him. So that's all anybody focuses on. You're not going to get kids in a classroom to not look at your giant nipples. Maybe that's what he wanted. But, you know, it was back in the 80s, so there were less, you know, molesty type teachers.
they weren't known.
Not reported. Well, they might not have been known, but I don't remember. I think all of our teachers were hideous. You know, maybe there were, you know, females getting it on with the male teachers in some aspect, but even then I doubt it. But yeah, a lot of the female teachers, I mean, you didn't look at them and go, man, she's hot. Remember, we had nicknames for them like Pocket Face. And there was, we had one that had a beard, a full beard. She had a full beard, like dark hair beard, like she could have been in the circus. And she taught this class, and she got all these brand new books for this class. And, you know, they did these little drawings inside of the books instead of pictures. You know, they had, you know, just outlines of people. And one of the drawings looked exactly like this teacher. So on every one of these brand new school books, somebody drew a beard. Do you remember
somebody.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't me. I took the book home in sixth grade and wrote all sorts of filthy things in it, but we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to have a hangout, a Halloween hangout at Atlanta Pizza in Euro on Sunday, October 30th from 12 to 3 p.m. We'd love it if you come out. Come with your kids, dress up if you like, and, you know, bring a dessert if you so choose that we can share amongst each other. We'll have a limited menu, of course, with Mike. And we'll have a lot of fun. And maybe this year we'll have some stuff on the TV that can go back and forth. I don't know. We'll try to work that out. But just a little meet and greet if you want to come out and hang out. It'll be a lot of fun. Also coming up in November, we are returning to HoosaCon in Rome, Georgia. It is the convention in Rome. And when in Rome? I'm saying, where is it? You can go to CoosaCon.com, COOSACON, And Jeff and Dustin will be a part of two panels, and I'll be maintaining the table. So come out and see us and say hello.
Yeah, Ming's going to be there. Brian Silverbacks will be there.
And we'll also see our friend Ming Chen again. And I believe that's the Walking Dead table, right?
We're doing our Walking Dead panel, and then Ming's going to be on a different panel about cosplay, I think.
If you like listening to the podcast, there wasn't a show last week, but there will be this coming Monday, October 17th. I'm interviewing a man by the name of Paul Cowsill. Either of you know or recognize that name, Paul Cowsill?
I know the band, the Cowsills.
Nah, he's part of the band, the Cowsills. They had a bunch of hits in the late 60s and early 70s. Most notably, Hair, Give Me a Head with Hair, The Rain, The Park, and Other Things, Indian Lake, and the theme from Love American Style, which was a television sitcom in the early 70s that gave birth to Happy Days. They were a family band. They toured around a lot. There's a documentary about them right now on Amazon. It's been out a couple of years, showing how horrible their father was, which is usually the case of those family bands, but they were the inspiration for the Partridge Family. And so I'll be talking to Paul Cowsill. They have a brand new album out called Rhythm of the World, their first record in 30 years. And I gave it a listen. It is like they recorded it in 1971. It's one of those records that every song from start to finish is a pop song. And it's that power pop that doesn't exist anymore in contemporary popular music. I mean, there's a lot of pop music, but it's got too many overdubs and all that other shit that makes everything sound the same. You know, but this is pure pop music. And if you like that kind of music, it gives off like a late 80s, early 90s alternative vibe. Before alternative became, you know, the mainstream in the mid 90s, this stuff is, you can tell that the Cowsills influence people with their sound, and they have so many good harmonies. So I would check it out if I were you. It's on Spotify, or you can buy it. Again, it's called Rhythm of the World. And also on the podcast, Greg and I will be talking about, Greg Russ from the Von Hessler Doctrine, I will be talking about a number of things.
I love horror movies.
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster.
What are we doing this week on the show on Radio Labyrinth? Well, I thought it would be fun to talk about Gen X horror films. And we're talking about movies that came out between 1980 and 1990. These are movies that really, really came out. And if you were, you know, 10 to 15 years old, you know, in 1980, you were watching these movies on HBO. And then by 1982, 1983, you were watching them on VHS. You were getting them at the movie stores and renting them and bringing them home. And you were looking for the blood and guts and the occasional booby flashes and things like that. There was always sex. There was always murder, and it was a good decade for sex and murder. Every decade is, but particularly the 80s. Can't go wrong if you put a little sex and murder in your movie. Masked killers, satanic Santas, all sorts of crazy shit. Science fiction blended into the films. And we have this gigantic list of movies, and we were going to talk about all of them. But instead, what we're going to do, Dustin, why don't you tell everybody what we're going to do?
Well, what we decided, since the list was so large, because we ask everybody online, you know, to pitch in, so we started compiling this list, and when we got the list together, you know, it's like 40-something movies. So we're going to do is put a poll up this week on the main page. That way, if, you know, Radio Shack or not, you'll be able to see it and vote on it. And then at the end of the week, the list is going to be how we go over it, you know, in next week's show.
Awesome, awesome. Tonight, we each picked two from the list of Gen X horror movies, and we'll just kind of go back and forth and talk about them and why we like them. So we each chose two from the list of 40, and I guess I'll kick it off in no particular order. One of my favorites from the 80s is a film called The Stepfather. Do you guys remember that one from 1987?
Yeah, it had that guy from Lost, right?
Yeah, Terry O'Quinn. And it also had this actress named Jill Sholin, who was pretty cool. And also Shelley Hack. Remember her? That's a Sopranos line. But Shelley Hack was in it. She was one of the final angels from Charlie's Angels. The Stepfather is a psychological horror film directed by Joseph Rubin about a man who has a bunch of different families, and he murders them. He kills the people, He's terrible. He has families all over the place, and it's loosely based on a serial killer by the name, or a mass murderer, whatever you want to call it, named John List. Although they made it more of a slasher film because it was the 80s. But it's scary, it's tense, and of course it does have boobs and knives and murder. So boobs and murder galore in The Stepfather. In fact, I remember the scene a little too vividly and probably should get off of it. It did spawn two sequels, Stepfather 2 in 89, Stepfather 3 in 1992, and then a terrible remake called The Stepfather, released in 2009 with the guy from, what was that show? Nip Tuck. The guy from Nip Tuck. Do you remember that TV show? Dylan Walsh.
Yeah.
So that's my first.
That movie played a lot on divorce being very popular, becoming very popular in the mid 80s as well. Yeah. I think that was, mm-hmm. that was what they were pulling from.
And he was so creepy. Terry O'Quinn is a great actor, and that's the first time I ever saw him in anything.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
And I picked Chud off the list.
Chud is out.
Yeah. we need to go to Mondo Video.
Yeah.
I just got my t-shirt.
Chud, that's awesome, tonight. Dude.
They probably have it in Mondo Video.
So we can go get it there. What if
movie store never had it?
Chud is out.
It had the blinking eyes on the box, so everybody'd always take the box.
Or at our movie store, they would keep the box empty just on the shelf.
Yeah.
And there would be like a little tag if the movie was in. You could take the tag and bring it up to the front, and they would just give you the tape.
And we've talked about it before on this show, but Jeff and I were in there looking for a movie, not necessarily Chud. And I just happened to say, oh, Chud. And the guy behind the counter, Chud is out. They all had these deep New York City accents because they were from New York City. And they came to our little town and they opened the movie store there. And one of the guys went on to write for Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely so not the story. Chud 84.
Yeah.
Science fiction horror movie directed by Douglas Cheek, who I don't think ever did anything else after that.
No.
And starred John Hurd, Daniel Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the New York City cops searching for these missing people. And it turns out that they're being eaten by these cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. Chud.
Now, was that a successful 80s movie?
I mean, they made sequels.
Yeah, it was scary. Wow. I know that.
Have you seen the sequel?
I have not seen Chud.
Oh, Chud watch 2, it. Bud, you've got Bud to watch
Chud.
It.
Chud 2 is still
it's
out.
So bad. Bubba Chud. Yeah, it is horrible. It's got the most, it's so funny. It's like, it's almost as bad as The Room. I mean, it's that.
Really? Right. Yeah. Oh my God.
Let's see. 1986's The Hitcher, with Rutger Hauer, C. Thomas Howell, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and a host of other, you know, character actors from the '80s. It was directed by Robert Harmon. You know, C. Thomas Howell's taken a car as a kid from, you know, one city in the middle of the country to San Francisco. So in the middle of the desert, he picks up this hitchhiker who turns out to be a serial killer. And he, you know, gets rid of him, but he keeps following him. And so it's just back and forth between the killer and C. Thomas Howell. And, you know, they've said that there's a lot of gay overtones in the movie, like it was supposed to be, describing homosexuality at the time. They've gone back and forth on the internet, and people, you know, they've gone back and forth and said that that's not what it is. But I think that looking back on it now, I could probably see a lot of that, you know, in it. But you know, either way, it's, you know, for me growing up, it was just a great horror movie. Sean Bean did the remake. Mm-hmm. What, like 5 or 6 years ago, and it was bland because he wasn't Rutger Hauer. Everything else was okay. Mm-hmm. They flipped the main characters, you know, to a female, but it was still really good. But yeah, that's mine.
All right, I gotta look into that more because I never noticed that. I guess it's because I haven't seen it in years. Maybe I'd be able to spot it now.
Yeah,
but when I was a kid, I didn't notice.
Yeah, anything. I wasn't looking for subtext.
I wasn't either. That's why I was like, that's why I watched it again a couple months ago, and I was like, okay, I could see.
Jeff and I stayed up late one night to watch this movie on HBO called Making Love, and as soon as they got to that scene, we screamed and shut off the television. You have to give us a pass for that because we were like 15 years old and maybe even younger than that. My second movie comes from 1988, and it is a satirical science fiction action movie / horror movie with monsters and aliens, directed by John Carpenter, and it's called They Live. Now, this movie with Rowdy Roddy Piper and Keith David, who is a great actor. I love Keith David. He's a fantastic actor. He's probably the best actor in this movie because Roddy Piper isn't a good actor, but he's good in this. There's these sunglasses or glasses or something that Roddy Piper finds or is given. And when he puts them on, he sees the world as it really is. These monster aliens are forcing people to become slaves to consumerism. So when you put the glasses on, you can spot the aliens and you can see the real message, which is consume, consume, buy, buy, buy. A lot of conspiracy theories have spawned since this film. So don't buy into them because we don't want to get Kanye'd or even sound like Kanye. We're not even going to talk about it, but you know what we're talking about. You know what we're talking about. But this was a fun movie. I mean, it has one of the most epic fight scenes ever shot on film between Roddy Piper and Keith David. And, you know, there's a couple of working class dudes and Roddy Piper's, you know, going to join this resistance and joins the resistance. And Keith David doesn't want to, but then he does. And it debuted at number one at the box office. I remember that. And it has a classic line. What is it? I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Fantastic. Yeah. Film. And there's a episode of South Park, the infamous episode where Timmy and Jimmy fight each other, and Cartman, you know, kicks the door open of the church and yells "cripple fight," which is one of the funniest things that's ever happened on South Park. And again, we've talked about this before, but Jeff and I were both watching that episode at the same time in different rooms when that cripple fight line came out. Both of us howled in laughter in from different rooms at the same thing. But it is almost a shot for shot, if not a full shot for shot recreation. Timmy and Jimmy fighting each other. And there used to be compilations of it on YouTube where you could see the fight scenes were choreographed. So they were exactly the same as They Live. And that's been taken down, of course, because, you know, YouTube sucks. And that's just the way it is. But a great movie. Highly recommend They Live.
My second one is probably the only one from the list that I actually saw in the theater. Fright Night.
Fright Night. Oh, yes.
1985.
Scary, scary movie.
Oh, Brewster.
Yeah.
You're so cool.
Directed by Tom Holland. And this that's his first movie. Mm-hmm. He directed Child's Play and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Released in August of 85.
Who else was in that movie? You had
Chris Sarandon.
It was Susan Sarandon's brother, right?
Yeah. Amanda Bierce from Married with Children.
They got married. They got divorced a couple years later, but she kept the name. That's why she stayed Susan Sarandon.
Oh, that's weird. I always thought he was her brother. Okay. Well, maybe they were. You never know. It was swinging time in the
Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell. That's who I was thinking about. I love Roddy McDowell.
Was that Stephen Jeffries, Edward Evil Ed Thompson?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Brewster!
What happened to that guy? Did he die?
He went on to make a bunch of gay porn, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
He did one more horror movie. He did like 976 Evil, which was a pretty cool like play on 900 numbers. But then it was all gay porn after that.
Sam Ritter. Yeah. Sam Ritter. Not a very strong porn name.
But that movie was good and a cool take on vampires.
It is a classic vampire movie, especially and a good one for the Gen X era because there weren't an awful lot of them. You know, there's one other one, of course, that we all remember very, very well, and that, of course, is called
Lost Boys.
Anyone? Yes. But in some ways, this is more of a classic real vampire tale where the vampire next door, and you have to invite him in, and he has a familiar that lives there.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. The remake sucked.
And it was cool when the cross didn't work on him because he didn't have faith. That was an interesting thing. I'd never seen that before in a vampire movie.
Well, no, that's a Stephen King thing too. That's from the Salem's Lot. Because remember the priest in Salem's Lot, Per Callahan. You know, he tries to use it against the vampire, and he goes, "You need to have faith, Padre."
Yeah,
but that's not an '80s movie, so.
That was my second one. Dustin, what was yours?
Let's see. My second one is called The Stuff from 1985. It's directed by Larry Cohen. It's got Michael Moriarty, Garrett Morris, Paul Sorvino.
Oh, Garrett Morris.
Yeah. It's an interesting
movie tonight.
It's a cool movie. It's about It's about these guys who find this white stuff coming out of the ground in a mine, and they inadvertently taste
Georgia.
Is it supposed to be in Georgia? They inadvertently taste it and find out that it tastes really sweet. So they had the idea of bottling or packaging it and selling it. And it starts catching on like wildfire across the country. What they don't know is the stuff is alive. And it controls your mind once it gets inside of you, and you just want to eat more of it until you know you turn into Mr. Creosote from Monty Python. Blow up! But it's it's got a list of character actors from the '80s in it, and it kind of it follows really one boy and his family, and because he sees it for what it is, and then he tries to tell everybody, what's going on. I watched it recently also, and it does not hold up very well, but it's still a really cool concept. I wish somebody like James Gunn or something would come back and remake it, because it's along the lines of kind of like Slither, when he did Slither. Yeah. So him doing this movie that way would be awesome,
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Mira Sorvino showed up to visit her dad, so they put her in as an extra working at a factory. You also have Danny Aiello was in this movie, and Garrett Morris has the worst name, and it's such a stereotypical 80s director name for a black guy in a movie. Charles W. Chocolate Chip Charlie Hobbs. You know what I mean? It was one of those Chocolate Chip Charlie.
Yeah, like he's an ice cream man, if I remember right.
Yeah, okay. Chocolate Chip Charlie. I mean, come on. Anyway, it was a different time. I shouldn't be looking at it through the lens of today, even though I am, and I should. All right. So what are we going to do now? We're going to put a big list of movies on our Facebook page, which is just Radio Labyrinth. And we want you to vote. And then next week, we'll read your contributions. And we'll what are we looking for? The top 10 of all time from that era?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll narrow it down to a top 10. So everybody all right. vote.
Thank you, guys. All right. Atlanta Pizza in Yiro. Have you ever heard of them? That's a pizza place. It's in Conyers, Georgia. And we have to say thank you to them. We do each and every week because they're a longtime sponsor. And we love everybody there, especially the owner, Mike Hall. And we love his food truck. If you can fall in love with a food truck, I recommend falling in love with Mike Hall's food truck, because that truck won't let you down. And it has a wide tailpipe. Stop by the restaurant and grab an ice cold local craft beer like Wicked Weed's Pernicious IPA, which is in cans, and Tantrum Brewing's Poems at Midnight Sour, Berliner Weisse, which is on tap. That's a lot of words. If you're a business or a corporate client who's looking to book a food truck with a wide tailpipe for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza in Euro by calling 770-483-6228. And let's see, they are open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. Also, thanks to Brett, our friend Brett, who runs LDI. Do you have a commercial or residential construction project? Well, if you do, what are you waiting for? Call LDI Repro Printing of Athens. In Athens, Georgia, since 2005, with fast turnaround and affordable prices. Call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. I didn't get an "and we're back" out of that guy.
Oh, and we're back.
Yeah. Now, see, I don't know how to proceed without that. we haven't really addressed it very much, maybe in the first episode, but Steph, any word on if she's ever coming back? Because I miss her very much.
She's in the D right now.
She is. She's in Detroit. Yeah. She's doing up there.
I think she said she was helping her mom winterize her house.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the winterizing trip. She took it last October as well.
Oh, that's like putting up the storm windows and putting plastic on the windows.
Plastic. We should do that.
Yep, up north. Well, it's going to get cold. Let's put some heavy-duty plastic on the wall, on the windows, cover it up. Right next to the heater that if you touch it will singe off your hand.
Yeah.
You know, those big old metal ones.
Yeah, the grate you stand on and your tennis shoes, like, stick to it.
Yeah, because they melt. All that dry air and your bloody nose.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nice? I miss those days. At least there weren't a lot of bugs. That's the good thing about living up north. No hideous creatures to come out and say, hi, how you doing, while you're out in your carport smoking. Anyway.
Just heard the latest news on the radio.
News. PR TV, and now for the latest news.
I saw a story today that basically told me that Warner Brothers, the Discovery Network, are basically shutting down the Cartoon Network and are going to rely less on new creative content and just using, what do they call that when they own the property, or intellectual property. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see more Bugs Bunny shit, more Warner Brothers shit, just repackaged and repurposed, just like Disney Plus. Disney keeps repackaging and repurposing all their old characters. You're seeing it now with HBO Max and all the Scooby-Doo shit. People are complaining about it because, like, Shaggy's a black guy now in the one that Mindy Kaling did, and there's no Fred or there's no Fred Daphne. I don't think there's Scooby, is there? It's just whatever. It doesn't matter. They might make it good and might make it funny, but the original Scooby-Doo is just boring and stupid.
Well, we want to know on this show, though, is how does it affect Dave Willis? And
yeah,
is it gonna screw up the Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell animated cartoon shows?
I hope not. They laid off a ton of people. It was either yesterday or today. Like 60 people were laid off.
Those should be in the can by now, though.
Yeah, well, I think.
We know the Aqua Teen movie's coming out. And if you go see it in the theater, I found out there's a special thing that'll happen. I think that you like right before the movie starts, and I heard it on the Dancing is Forgiven podcast, the most recent episode, that you can text your number to a number on the screen, and then the Moonanites will text you throughout the movie.
Oh, nice.
Cool. So I'm thinking that I if it plays around here,
we gotta go see it.
I would rather do that than because I don't have a DVD player. But other than that, that's a movie that I would fork over some bucks and risk getting COVID to go see. But yeah, and also if you're a fan of Aqua Teen and Hunger Force, we've talked about them a couple times. Check out the Dancing is Forbidden podcast. It's really cool. They do episode breakdowns, they do interviews with, you know, people who are, you know, the creative people behind Aqua Teen or people who've appeared on the show, and they've talked to Dave before. And I would say check it out if you like podcasts like that. So hopefully, you know, Warner Brothers really doesn't screw everything like Disney did. You know, where's the venue for creative people to put out stuff? You know, going back to what Bert Kreischer said on a recent episode of one of his podcasts is that they have the juice now, thanks to their podcast network, to produce their own stuff. They can produce a sitcom, they can produce an animated show, and just put it out. And that's what I think is going to happen. If you have the juice, the money, and the people behind you to make something, you can just put it out on your own and you don't have to worry about these collapsing giants. So anyway, yeah. Inside Amy Schumer is coming back, and whoever posted it in here said, does anyone care? I don't care.
That show was funny.
Yeah. Some of the scenes I've watched a couple of them on the YouTubes, but I'm not really a big fan of that show or her. Her stand-up used to be so funny. Now I don't know what happened. I don't know why it changed, but
that's what I like, her stand-up, but I didn't like anything that in the shows that she's been in. It just doesn't reflect her stand-up very well, in my opinion.
Well, her Her stand-up was a lot different 10, 15 years ago than it is now.
There were some great classic sketches, though, on Inside Amy Schumer, like the finger blasters.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And the one, the 12 Angry Men take off, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Has anyone watched, did you watch Saturday Night Live? It's back now, right?
Yeah.
Was it any good?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah? Who was the host?
Mr. Mercedes.
Brendan Gleeson, the dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mr. Mercedes.
Oh, Mr. Mercedes, that's right. Yeah, I no interest anymore. And they finally got around to having Lorne Michaels on Fly on the Wall, and I thought those were the two most boring episodes they've done. I mean, it's cool, but he didn't really reveal a lot.
Like, I liked how Lauren talked about how he finds the people for Saturday Night Live and how their representation, if they have any at all, is, what did he say? It's basic representation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he could get them for like a steal.
Yeah.
That was the part I found interesting.
I really enjoyed, of all the most recent episodes, I really loved the one with Sherry O'Terry, and I went back and started watching her bits on YouTube. But the one that I can't find is, they did that one, the morning TV show, she did it with Will Ferrell. Those aren't on YouTube, so I had to find them on bootleg sites. Those were so funny.
Peacock has all the episodes.
Yeah, but I just want to watch those scenes. I forget the name of it, morning something or other, but they were the morning TV hosts.
Yeah.
It was really dumb, and he would get mad at her. Her husband was on it. It was Chris Parnell was playing her husband, and he was a drug addict, and he passed out. Or the one where Christopher Farley hosted and yelled at her, "You dumb bitch!" but I forgot that she was really, really funny, and still is. She's still doing a lot of work, so good for her. And she was really
that was one of the funnier episodes of Fly on the Wall.
Yeah. It was, as opposed to the one with Vanessa Bayer, who I love and I think is extremely talented. But that interview was so annoying because I was counting all the likes, and there were so many fucking like, more than Spade.
Yeah. Lauren had a few too. It's like that thing where,
you know, who does the best, Lauren? I think it's Dana on that
show. Of the two of them, yeah.
Dana. Anyway, check that podcast out. I just started listening to a different podcast. What's it called? Hang on, you guys keep talking amongst
yourselves. I just started listening to the Fletch Cast.
What's the Fletch Cast?
It's all about Fletch books and movies and everything.
Ooh.
By this dude, Laker Jim.
You'd have to read all of them.
Yeah.
No,
I've read all of them.
Yeah, I know you have. I haven't.
But it's about the movies too. Yeah, there's maybe 10 or 12. Yeah. And then there's The Son of Fletch.
Son of Fletch. I think I read that one. I read one of them other than the first one, which I did read also. I probably borrowed it from you and never gave it back.
Was it Fletch 1?
Yeah. Was it just called Fletch?
No, the original one's just called Fletch.
Yeah.
The Chevy Chase, the one that Chevy Chase's movie is based on, the first movie.
Anyway, I started listening to The Plot Thickens. There's three seasons now. And I didn't know that. It started off with Peter Bogdanovich. The Plot Thickens is the guy from AMC or Turner. Is the guy from Turner Classic Movies, I think. God, I feel like such a dumb moron. Ben Mankiewicz.
It's Mankiewicz. He has a podcast.
Yeah. The most recent season. Okay. Is the fourth season, and it's Pam Grier. Prior to that, season three was Lucille Ball. Which I'm going to get to eventually. Season two, I just started listening to, and it's all about the making of the 1980s bomb with Tom Hanks. God, what the
Bonfire of the Vanities?
Yes, thank you for saving me. I'm really fading. It's been a long day, but yeah, Bonfire of the Vanities and the making of that, and the director hired somebody, a film critic, to come and record everything. So there's all these recordings of people being pissed off, like Melanie Griffith and Tom Hanks, and it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. I like those kind of podcasts, and I like Ben Mankiewicz. So.
Yeah, Ben Mankiewicz is good.
I need a new audiobook to listen to. I finished the Stephen King one, and I'm like, what am I going to listen to? And I got this one for free, and it was so terrible that I kept listening to it just to see if it went anywhere, and then I got pissed and stopped listening. I'm not even going to plug it because it was so bad.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Well, we do have to say goodbye to two female legends of entertainment. First of all, Judy Tenuta passed away. That was last week, or over the weekend, maybe. A very funny and talented comedian and performer that really came into vogue in the mid to late 80s. I remember Jeff being a huge fan of hers, and she was so funny. She had a lot of great jokes. She played the accordion on stage. She was like an early diva before divas existed. And back then she was married to Emo Phillips, who was a weirdo, still is as far as I'm concerned, but funny, but a weirdo. And I guess she kept touring and being famous throughout the 90s. I met her in the early 2000s when I was promotions director at 96 Rock. There's a very classic Regular Guys, and it's on one of the CDs. I'm thinking it's on American Beauties, where she's interacting with Yucko the Clown, who had just gotten sprung out of jail and or something like that. I don't remember. I'm going to have to find it. Maybe Dustin can find it and link to it, but it is on a CD. And she was so funny, and she was so good with the Regular Guys. She knew them from LA. And then she was on the show subsequent appearances when we were at Rock 100.5. And very nice and very generous and very gracious and a good radio guest and just a talent overall. And it was sad to see her go. I've been following her for years on social media. She was really good on Instagram, always posted funny videos and stuff. So that's a sad one. 72 years old. Rest in peace, Judy Tenuta.
She's with Pope John Paul II now.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It happened. That face she used to make. Ooh, she was so funny. Let's see. Comedian. No, she's not a comedian, but actress Angela Lansbury was 96 years old. She passed away this week. And
so many murderers are going to get away with it now that she's not here to.
That whole town, that little town where she solved every single murder, Jessica Fletcher, her character in Murder, She Wrote, it's just going to be filled with murderers now. It's going to suck, but that's the way life goes when Jessica Fletcher dies.
All these people are saying she's in that movie Gaslight from like the 40s.
Gaslight?
Yeah, you ever heard of that movie?
No, no.
All these people, when she died, were saying she's in it, but she's not in it.
Why are they saying she's in it?
I'm telling you right now, she's not in it.
It says cast Angela Lansbury.
She's not in it, though.
I don't get what you're doing.
I'm gaslighting you.
Oh, asshole. She's always looked old.
Yeah.
You know,
like bed knobs and broomsticks.
Yeah. The teapot, Mrs. Potts.
Yeah.
And no, but my favorite movie with her in it is The Manchurian Candidate, where she plays Raymond Shaw's mother. She was only 3 years older than the actor who's playing her son. But have you guys seen that movie? You know what I'm talking about?
Original? No.
Yeah, you've never seen it. Or you just watched it with Ray Donovan. The remake had Ray Donovan.
Did it?
No, it was terrible.
Yeah.
No, it might not have been Ray Donovan. Ray Donovan was in the Omen reboot.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. Yeah.
Denzel Washington. He was good in it, but it was pointless to remake The Manchurian Candidate because so much about The Manchurian Candidate had to do with the Cold War and the fact that it was released after Kennedy was killed, and it could have been released before that, but Frank Sinatra was so upset about Kennedy being killed. And then you have Janet Leigh, who's is Jamie Lee Curtis's mother, another actor from The Manchurian Candidate just died recently, the Asian guy. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, you do. He did that segment in Kentucky Fried Movie, Bullshit or Not. Henry Silva.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
there's a famous scene in The Manchurian Candidate where they have a judo fight, and it's so badly choreographed. Frank Sinatra. But Sinatra was a good actor, and that's a good film directed by John Frankenheimer. And if you've never seen it, I highly recommend that you watch it. It's very much ahead of its time.
You know, her kids almost were recruited by Manson.
I saw that story and I'd heard that before. They were not necessarily recruited, but he liked young girls, so I'm not surprised. And he also liked the children of famous people because he could manipulate them to use the credit cards and money.
Yeah.
That Manson thing is so deep, and we'll never know the real truth about it. I don't believe Helter Skelter. If you've ever read that book, I don't believe that Bugliosi told the truth. I think a lot of that was manufactured just so they could get a conviction and make all this Helter Skelter thing up. I think that's a lot of lie. A lot of these Hollywood people were really plugged in with Manson because they liked drugs and they liked having sex with young girls. And he could provide both of those. And like you have Terry Melcher, who is Doris Day's son. I'm not going to go through it. Go listen to or read Tom O'Neill's Chaos. It's a great book. And or you can watch the interview that he did with Joe Rogan, or even listen to the interview that he did with us a couple of years ago. He spent decades of his life researching and writing this book, spoke to people that, you know, are gone now, actors and famous people. Like Neil Young thought that Charles Manson was a visionary. Okay. And the Beach Boys stole music from him, which pissed him off, which is why he went to that house. He didn't know that Terry Melcher, the music producer, didn't live there anymore. He was living there with Candace Bergen. So he sent the people to the house, and just bad luck for whoever was living there and got killed, you know? So that's terrible. Anyway, rest in peace to Angela Lansbury. I never liked that show because I was a kid when it came on. And by the time I was an adult,
it seemed like an old people show.
Yeah. My grandmother, they used to run it on TBS for like 7 hours, and she'd all afternoon. It was that and Matlock, and then In the Heat of the Night.
Right.
Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
I'm a sudden sheriff now, Edith.
Wasn't that whole show filmed over by you, Dustin?
That entire series was filmed here in Covington. Yeah, it was the everything. Yeah, it still have, like, once a year they have you know, events based on it.
You meathead. Yeah, let's go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, you meathead.
You don't want to talk about how Eric Andre suing the Atlanta airport?
Oh, no. Why is he suing? I forgot.
Racially profiled.
He did?
Yeah.
At the Atlanta airport?
Yeah. Apparently, it's a thing. Clayton English did, too.
Comedian. That makes zero sense. I mean, that's horrible, but it makes zero sense in a city like Atlanta.
Yeah, the cops are stopping people, like, between... They've already gone through TSA... But just before they get on their planes, cops are stopping people. It turns out they stopped 700 people, mm-hmm. and 518 of them were black.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
For what purpose? If you've already gone through, first of all, anybody, if you've already gone through TSA, why are they stopping people? What are they looking for?
Drugs and money. Yeah.
And money.
Yep. They've seized shit ton of money from people.
How could you take, you mean more than $10,000?
Yeah, like if you're traveling with a lot of money.
That's a bullshit law to begin with. It's your fucking money. It's none of their business. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I hate the racial profiling too. But from a libertarian point of view, it's your money. It's nobody's fucking business. Man, that's horrible. Are they going to stop doing it?
I hope so.
I hope they sue the shit out of
them. Yeah, they are in federal court.
I mean, I can't see that, and not in 2022. I really can't. I don't understand it. I don't like it. And the fact that it's happening in a city like Atlanta is even worse. You know, you might think maybe Austin, but you know, just based on the, you know, the racial makeup or whatever, but it's so dumb. That's fucking stupid. I hate the government. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good luck to Eric Andre and Clayton English. I hope they fucking sue the shit out of
them. So do I. I hope that the city's going to have to pay. The city of Atlanta, which you can't say is a racist city. I think
they're suing Clayton County, too.
Yeah. Again, Clayton County isn't a racist county. I don't understand. Is it who runs the police? Is it Clayton?
I think it's Clayton County at the airport. Yeah.
Wouldn't be state police. It would be municipal police. All right. Well, Victor Hill. He's already busy right now. I don't understand that. Yeah, maybe they
did 402 stops and for drugs, and three things were found, and it was weed under 10 grams and 26 grams of THC gummies. Yeah, gummies. That was it.
And so, they arrested him.
But they've done like these hundreds of stops and only found three things.
Yeah, you know what needs to happen? They need to take Clayton County out of there and put Atlanta PD in there.
Yeah.
I think they just need to stop or create their own. Because Atlanta, once you've gone through TSA, you shouldn't be fucked with by the cops.
No, but I agree with that. But Atlanta PD wouldn't do that. They wouldn't. I mean, that's Mickey Mouse shit.
Yeah.
That's extortion. That's taking the money. What do they do with the money? You never know. They put it in an evidence locker.
Coffers.
Yeah, there's no evidence locker full of money. They keep the money. It wouldn't make any sense. Oh, you're going to burn it. No, you're not. You're going to keep it. Dole it out.
Yeah. Hey,
screw them.
Yeah.
All right. Fusers.
Views.
Or.
And snooze.
Halloween Ends on Peacock.
That's a coming out soon. That's the final one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a views for me because I've watched the other ones. I haven't enjoyed them that much.
No, they're not very good.
No. I'll
there was one that I could tell had the Danny McBride influence on it, and it was pretty funny. Mm-hmm. And the kid was funny.
Which one was that?
I don't remember. Maybe it was the second one.
It was the first. I thought it was the first one.
The first one?
Maybe it was the three new ones, yeah.
Okay. And the Jamie Lee Curtis ones, the ones that are canon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she signed a contract today and showed it to the media that stated that this will be her last Halloween movie. She will not do another one.
Okay. Maybe she'll do Fog 2.
That's what I'm hoping.
Mm.
Anyway, I'll probably watch it. It comes on Peacock soon.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Number two, Documentary Now is coming back after being off for several years because of the pandemic.
This is going to be
season 53.
I like that.
Actually, really, the fourth season.
That's such looks a like fun show. I'm going to watch it.
They got John Mulaney writing a couple.
Good.
Yeah, I'll use that.
That's coming back on IFC. Looking forward to that. That's a views for me. And then number three, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. It's Shantaram. Yeah, this is the new Charlie Hunnam, the kid from Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on Apple TV. It looks like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably not going to be a views for me. I might snooze.
I'll check out the first one and see how it is.
Yeah, with Apple Plus, that's the best thing to do is the first one. Check it out, and then I'll go from there.
But I
watched the first one. I liked him on Sons of Anarchy.
I like him too. I liked him in he was in Pacific Rim, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's a really good actor.
He's a good actor. Mm-hmm. And people hate that Pacific Rim, but they're dumb because the first one's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
everything after it stunk, but the first one's really good. All right, I guess that'll do it for this week. But make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube. And turn that alert button on so you know when the episode is out. Of course, it's always Saturday, so you don't really need to do that. Even if you're just a listener on the podcast platforms you just like the audio version, please go to the YouTube channel and subscribe and share it with your friends and tell them to subscribe, even if they hate us, because we need the subscriptions, damn it. Follow us on social media at @radio_labyrinth on Twitter. And we have an Instagram page. And we also have the Facebook page and the fun Facebook page, which is the Radio Shack, curated and run by Dustin himself. So
join Tim's OnlyFans.
Join my OnlyFan. That's for people who only have one thing. You don't have to wait for the person who's following me now to quit following me. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. All the details are there. And again, thanks to our most recent producer, Terry. And by the way, I know your t-shirts are going to be coming very, very soon. I had to get the store fixed so I could order them and send them out. So be on the lookout for those. Thank you guys, and make sure you check out the poll that Dustin's going to put up on Facebook and vote, and we'll have a fun show next week covering more Gen X Halloween movies. Until that time, please remember to keep it canon.